will harsh it all. Martial law will harsh it all. Others say mass militias versus our brainwashed brothers and sisters. Okay, everybody. This is Free Media, and we're here with Amanda Ballantyne, the field organizer with the Free Press, and Sidney Levy, program director of the Media Alliance, to talk about basically why we don't have a free press and why we need to build a Media Alliance. And in particular, the reason why we have it, Voices from the Frontlines, is because something is up tomorrow that they already need your help on. Why don't we go first to what you need and then go back to why we need it?
Thank you, Eric. My name is Amanda Ballantyne. I'm with Free Press. The Federal Communications Commission tomorrow, October 3rd, is holding an official media ownership hearing. They've come to Los Angeles to hear from residents here about how folks feel about increased media consolidation.
Hi, this is Sydney from Media Alliance. This is what's going to happen tomorrow, folks. We did have a media ownership hearing in Los Angeles by the end of August. Some of you were there. KPFK was really helpful in getting us people, in turning out people there, so thank you. We really count on outlets like KPFK to get the voice out. The hearing that we are going to have tomorrow is going to be substantially different than the one that we had a number of weeks ago, because this time, my friends, the whole commission is coming. The Republican commissioners that last time were not interested in coming are coming, and what that means is that the industry, corporate media, is going to be there as well. The media is going to be there as well. So now we have a very high-stakes game. This is the first time that FCC Commissioner Martin is presiding over one of these hearings. So this is going to set the tone for the whole fall, from now probably until the end of the year, about what does the FCC think and does regarding media ownership and how consolidated is the media.
And since we know it is consolidated, tell us, on the flyer I have, it says location to be announced, but there is a location, of course. Why don't you tell us where is it located tomorrow?
Yeah, I just want to address that very quickly, because one of the things that happened, which has been very frustrating, is that the FCC waited almost up until the last moment to give us the location, and that makes it very hard to organize, as you very well know. And I'm not going to say whether there's a reason for that or not, but I will tell you that from the other side, from the side of corporate media, we have seen from previous hearings how TV stations and radio stations can give the day off to their employees so that they will be there very early and they will testify and they will say how wonderful corporate media is and how there is no problem. And so from our side, we have to do as much. Even though we're getting the information late, we have to be there in numbers, and I'm going to give you the location now. We have to be there in numbers so that we also can testify what we know from our personal experience about what's wrong with the media. And so the hearing is actually going to happen in two separate locations. From 1 to 4:30, it's going to happen at the USC Davidson Conference Center.
Right.
And then from 6:30 until 10, it's going to happen in El Segundo High School. But I want to just have this as key, is that if people think that they're going to arrive there at 1 and they're going to get in, probably that's not going to be the case, because what we have seen in previous hearings is that there's a line outside. Even though the rooms are big, they're going to fill up. We have been telling people to come at 11. Now we're thinking that even 11 may be a little bit too late. So we're encouraging people to come as early as they can to stand in line so they can come here, and not just here, but raise up their voices and speak from their experience about what's wrong with the media.
Okay, now we'll come back to that one more time, because as organizers, that's after the end. Where am I going? What time do I have to get there? Should I wear my hat or not? And what kind of T-shirt? But let's go now to the issue that I think our listeners will get it, right? So one reason we're glad to get you on the night before is because if they change the date, you can come in on Voices from the Frontlines and, you know, speak to our people as fast as you can. Let's assume that we all agree with the following. What is the guy from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting? Remember his name? Okay, he's well known, but wherever he is, he's really good. So he's done a very good report that I've read, you know, unfortunately 10 years ago already, and it was, Jeff Cohen. So he did this thing about, it's scary, you know, 25 years ago there were, whatever, 35, 40 major networks and this number of newspapers, and then, you know, this one bought this one, bought this one, bought this one. So we get that. In L.A. today, the L.A. Times, which has not been favorable to social mm-hmm. movements, used to be under pressure from the, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the other newspaper, but there was a second newspaper in town that was far more progressive. It went out of business, the Herald Examiner. We used to get coverage in the Herald Examiner. And that now would push the Times to give us better coverage. But now, if they're the only game in town and they black you out, there's no possibility. So tell us, what does the corporate capitalist ruling class oligarchy want out of the meeting tomorrow? What are their objectives? What are they going to be asking for? And what are you asking for?
Very briefly. The FCC is thinking on relaxing the rules about how many TV stations, how many radio stations can you own in one market, or whether you can own how many of those plus a newspaper. We are saying there are certain limits that exist now. We are saying we have to keep those limits, because if the media companies keep on buying one another and becoming bigger and bigger, we get exactly what you said. We have less of an opportunity to influence the media. We have less of an opportunity to have local news and local stories. We have less of an opportunity to have employees that are local, that are accountable to the community. And those are the things. It's not just, oh, is this company getting big or it's not getting big. Those are the things that are important for us. Are we getting local news? Are we getting our employees? Are we getting people from the community to work in the media? What is the content? All of those things are reflected on who owns the media. And those are the things that we want people to talk about tomorrow.
But before you go ahead, man, I'll throw the next one to you, is that the problem with that argument is that you're asking to keep the status quo at a time when the status quo is already so terrible that I'm worried about that, because the local news today is 6 muggings. You know, if any black person did anything wrong, that's going to be the leading story already. The local news doesn't cover our demonstrations today. What are you proposing to reverse it, number one, and what are you going to ask very specifically tomorrow? What's the rule they want, and what's the rule you don't want them to implement?
Well, I agree with you. First of all, the local news, as many of us know, is pretty poor in most places in terms of providing fair, accurate, and decent coverage of what's actually happening in the community. I would say, though, that what is going on at the FCC right now, this rulemaking procedure they're engaged in, is a pretty high-stakes game. They want to get rid of a rule called the Newspaper Television Cross-Ownership Ban. It's a really wonky title to basically say that they want a company like Tribune, which owns the LA Times,
right,
to be able to purchase more television and radio stations in a market. If they pass these rules, which they're deciding on this fall, we expect for one company to come in and buy the major daily newspapers, between 2 and 3 television stations and 8 of the top 10 radio stations. After the digital transition happens in 3 years, which is a complicated process, but basically it will allow broadcasters to use more television channels. So those three TV stations that each broadcaster would own would balloon to 12 or 18 television stations in a market. That's what we're trying to stop tomorrow.
So the question is, where are the Democrats besides laying over and playing like dogs?
Well, our two friendly commissioners, Commissioners Copps and Adelstein, are actually very well versed on this issue and are very much encouraging the community to turn out and oppose these rules. Both Commissioners Copps and Adelstein have been fantastic about demanding public engagement in this rulemaking process. I think it's safe to say that the FCC would not be in L.A. this week if it weren't for Commissioners Copps and Adelstein, and they're relying on the public to come out and make the argument for them to the FCC.
Are they the minority votes?
Yes, they are. They are 2 out of 5. And actually, interestingly, the three, you have 3 and then 2.
Right.
3 are determined by the party of the president.
Right.
So we're stuck with that until not these elections, but next. We'll see what happens then. But I want to take your
sure.
point. I do understand that we can ask for other things. We can be really creative and imaginative about what do we want the media landscape to be about, and we should. At the same time, what we're now is under a real frontal attack on what we already have, as bad as it is. So we're trying to put a stop to it, and there is a precedent for this, because in 2003, when the FCC wanted to do exactly the same thing as they were doing now, we managed to stop them. We stopped them then, not by coincidence, but by having a lot of people coming to these hearings, writing to the FCC and saying enough is enough. What ended up happening is that this item ended up in the courts, and the courts told the FCC, you got to do it again, and you have to do a better process this time. So this is where we are now. We are in round two, and we have to stop them now, and then we can figure out how can we conceive a better system than the one that we have. But we have an emergency now.
I totally agree, and I think just one point is that my challenge to all of us is to understand that there's always a dilemma in a almost pre-fascist situation here, which is that on one hand, you know, people would say, well, why are you fighting for this? Why are you fighting for the right to speak for 1 minute at the city council when you should have 3 minutes? Why are you fighting to keep a T-shirt, you know, when you should have the right to a sign? We completely argue that. On the other hand, if the rule is it used to be you could at least have a T-shirt and they're taking that away,
you know,
so I totally support it. My concern was, frankly, that ideologically it's important to not start by saying this is what we have and we have to keep it. I think it's important ideologically to explain to people this is not acceptable what we have. But in the meantime, this is the fight we have to keep the limited civil liberties and civil rights that we have. Command to take it on.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing that Sydney said. When the courts turned the rules back to the FCC and said you need to rewrite these, one of the major reasons they made the FCC rewrite those rules was because between 2 and 3 million people contacted the FCC and Congress demanding that they not change the rule. That's a tremendous groundswell.
Absolutely, that's terrific.
And the court said, you know, you have clearly ignored the public's perspective on this issue, and that's why you have to rewrite these rules, and that's why people have to turn out tomorrow.
But let me just say something else. It's
sure.
not because you are challenging on whether it is enough to say, you know, we should keep the status quo. Of course it's not enough, and I'm going to put an additional challenge. It's not also enough coming tomorrow. We hope that people are going to come tomorrow. I don't also want to give the impression that if you come tomorrow to the hearing, you know, it's Walt Disney and things are going to change on Wednesday. That's not going to happen. We're here for a long fight. We're here to change the system. We know, everyone knows, actually, I don't think that there's any one of your listeners that believes that the media system is working. We all know that it's not working, and what we need to do is just to show not only tomorrow but in the future and demonstrate with our own stories, with our own experience, how it is that it is not working. Because the commissioners, even the Democratic commissioners that say, yeah, we're with you, they say, we want the stories, we want the anecdotes that we can then use to move the agenda forward.
That's right. So I'm here with Sidney Levy, who you just heard me speak, or who just heard you, whatever. He's the program director of the Media Alliance, and Amanda Ballantyne, who's a field organizer with the Free Press. Now, let's move back to what people can do, because I think you're absolutely right, and one of the things the Democrats tend to do is say, well, we want to hear your stories,
yeah,
as if you're the, you know, pobrecitos, and then after you speak, they interpret what you say to cut a deal with the Republicans in a certain way. So it sounds like you have two good minority commissioners, which is great. Now let's get back to where they got to go, because we're going to tie it up and take a break. You're on KPFK 90.7 FM. This is Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines. Go slow. Tell them about, especially, I think, well, for both locations, both times, and a contact number.
I just want to let Amanda do this, because I'm sure she can speak slower than I can. But I just want to say something that is important. When people go and speak, you are not only speaking to the FCC. You are speaking to the rest of the community, because it is important that we among ourselves hear what is happening with one another. And that's how we organize, and that's how we build our movement.
Sounds good.
That's absolutely right, Sydney. So I'm going to say this very slowly. The meeting tomorrow, the FCC hearing, is going to happen in two locations. From 1 o'clock to 4:30 p.m., they will be at the Davidson Conference Center at the University of Southern California. That's the Davidson Conference Center.
Is that Figueroa?
It's on Figueroa. And there's parking available. You can check out www.stopbigmedia.com for parking and accessibility. So that's 1 to 4:30 at the University of Southern California. And then from 6:30 to 10, they'll be reconvening at El Segundo High School in El Segundo, California.
And the last thing is the famous telephone number that we hope, after you've called the other number, you're going to call this number.
612-849-0195. That's 612-849-0195. Show up early. Get in line. We'll have water there for you. Please come out.
Amanda Ballantyne, Sidney Levy, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back with Sonali Kohatkar and Jim Ingalls with their new book, bleeding Afghanistan. Let's get out of here.